picking your builder in that environment is very much like picking your partner in a marriage. It's going to be a long-term relationship. It's going to be at least probably a 2 to 3 year relationship where you're joined at the hip.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
All right, Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Jason Brown, the president and owner of Ascent Builders. And I'm really excited to have one of our customers come into Studio MVWD that's really grown his business. And that's what this show is all about. He's one of our favorite customers here at Mountain View Window and Door, and is going to come in, and I hope we can talk about how he started as a little remodeler guy and doing basements to kitchens to whole house remodels to big custom homes, and now he's been awarded one of the builders in the Colorado Golf Club. So let's go in and talk with Jason. As always, I'm Devin Tilley, the president and owner of Mountain View Window and Door.
And I'm Kevin Keefe, sales executive and chief relationship officer with Mountain View Window and Door.
Let's dive in and have a chat with Jason. So what's your favorite beverage?
What is my favorite beverage? I would have to go with a local IPA.
Yes.
A craft brew from one of the local Denver area breweries.
All right. Plug one of them.
Well, I'll plug my local Broomfield one, which is Big Choice Brewery, and their Disconnected Red.
All right.
Great name. I love the names.
What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Favorite place I've traveled? I would have to say Northern Italy, the Tuscany region of Italy, Florence, San Gimignano. That area is just really beautiful. Did a bike ride through there a few years ago, and it was a great way to see the countryside.
Nice. Tell us one story or experience from that.
So the town of Lucca, which is near Pisa on the western side of Tuscany, is an old town that actually has a wall built, an old wall built around it. And we actually got to ride our bikes around the top of the wall, which is now a bike path.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
Cool. Well, what's your favorite interest outside of the construction arena?
I'd have to say snow skiing. Entire family are all snow skiers. My kids are all competitive skiers. So we basically spend our winters from Friday afternoon until Sunday evening or Monday morning up in the mountains.
What kind of ski racing or what do they do?
Yeah, they are all mogul freestyle skiers, so they're all going to need knee replacement surgery when they get older, but it's fun to watch them now going down the bumps.
Nice. My wife was on the moguls team, and instead of she did a lot of that, so it really paid off. Her skiing is just phenomenal.
Right, right. They're fun to watch.
Great. Well, great. Well, we got to know a little bit about Jason Brown, the president at Ascent Builders, as well as Basement Partners. Give us a little bit about your history and your company and where you are today.
Sure. So my personal history, and this is a second career for me. I spent almost 20 years in the telecom industry right out of college as an electrical engineer. What brought us to Colorado is I came out to work for Level 3 Communications in 1998 and rose to a senior executive level there. And honestly, just got completely burned out with the corporate world and wanted to do something completely different and on my own. A colleague and I wrote a business plan to start a high-end remodeling and construction company in 2005 and launched the company in late 2005. And we've slowly and steadily grown over the years. And now we're really a full-service general contractor covering all phases of residential and commercial construction.
Dynamite. And I want to peel back some layers as far as we've had the pleasure of getting to know Jason and working with him on the more new construction high-end side where he's done some beautiful homes through us. But he definitely capitalizes on different layers with having even different branding as far as Basement Partners, which Jeff runs that division, right? So tell us about the different layers and how you've grown this business to be able to segment and have the basement or the remodel market, the high-end custom homes, as well as I want to talk to you about production homes.
Sure. So like I said, our roots really started in the remodeling side of the business, and we originally branded the company as Basement Partners with a focus on being one of the top basement finishing contractors in the Colorado market. From there, we grew into other types of remodeling projects, kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels, whole home gut type projects, and then slowly moved into new construction and commercial contracting. And now last year we did 35 new homes in addition to a large book of remodeling business. This year we intend to do about 45 new homes in addition to a growing book of remodeling business as well.
How many of those are in the production side versus the custom side when it comes to the new homes, would you say?
The majority of them are certainly in the production kind of entry-level market. We do a lot of attached townhome products, which is sorely needed in the Denver market, as you guys know. Last year, we did 3 custom homes, and the rest mm-hmm. were were production entry-level homes, and this year it'll be about the same, about three custom homes. And
now, are you also doing the land development, or are you buying lots within a developed area, or how are you doing those right now?
On the custom side, it's usually in a community that's set for a custom home community, where we're just buying lots, or we are just a for-hire builder for a homeowner that has purchased a lot. On the production side, we've done both, where we picked up infill-type lots that are already completed and ready to build on it, and we've also done some lot development as well, some infrastructure development.
Are you focused on any part of town, or is it pretty much the greater Denver metro, or...?
We cover the overall Denver metro area. We have had more of a concentration on the north side of town in the past few years, Thornton, Broomfield, Westminster, Erie. Although recently we're selected as a preferred builder in the Colorado Golf Club community in Parker, which is a wonderful custom home community with an amazing golf course. And we're really excited to be one of three custom builders that's going to be building out that community over the next few years.
Great. Outstanding.
Hello.
Hi, is this Mountain View Window and Door?
Yeah, sure is. How can I help you?
I heard you guys are the fastest growing company for windows and doors, and you needed some help. Is that true?
We definitely need help. We're looking for qualified people. We've got people up front. We've got positions for salespeople and logistics. So all you got to do is go to our website. All the job postings are listed right there.
So I just go to your Mountain View website, and everything I need to know will be right there?
Yep.
Awesome.
This is Devin here, the present owner of Mountain View Window and Door, and as we're always preaching on the art of construction, be really good at a few things and delegate and get out of the way. And that's what I've done at Mountain View, and my team has done such a great job building this company, but we need more help. So the Mountain View family is ready to grow, and we look forward to talking to you and see if it's the right fit.
At mtnview.us.
So we got to know a little bit about where we're built up to all these different segments in the market. I want to peel back some layers as far as all the way back to the beginning is where you left the telecom industry and basically started over, went from working for someone else to running your own business. Tell us some of the things that you would definitely do different if you were starting over again.
You know, certainly I have no regrets today of what we did in exiting the corporate world and starting my own thing. I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and it's the right thing for me. It was certainly a lot harder than I ever imagined it was going to be to own my own business. I would say one of my biggest lessons learned is that I could have and should have delegated more and more early on than I did, as opposed to keeping a lot of it on myself. I think to other small business owners out there, you know, the more you can offload some of that workload to folks on your team, have that quality of life balance, that would be my advice.
What was the first thing you comes to mind when you say that you delegated or put off your plate as owning a construction company that you were doing that you said, why didn't I do this from the beginning?
Sure. At the beginning, I was certainly way too much in the weeds on project management and project supervision. So the first layer was to get some site superintendents that could effectively be in total control of a job site and not require my direct supervision of subcontractors and suppliers and the customer relationship throughout the project.
It's amazing to me how many people we talk to in the business that try to micromanage. And I think having been a builder myself and lived through some of that same experience that you're describing, I mean, I don't know how I would have ever been able to do it either without having people on the jobs responsible, sometimes more than one project, but taking ownership of that project, there's no way you can do it all from the main office.
Right. It's hard. It's hard when you it's your baby, it's your company, yep. And you want to make sure everything goes perfectly from the customer's perspective and from a job site perspective. But you just, as you said, you just can't do it all, and you've got to let go of things, and you've got to trust that you've hired good people and that they're going to do their job well.
So the next question I'd ask is in technology today, there's so many different options out there. And a company like yours that in 2005, you put the business plan together, and here we are in 2016, the software, how you ran Basement Partners when you started compared to being the president of multiple divisions. Tell us how you kind of started and along the way of some tools or things that you did to really help grow your business that you definitely have.
Sure. I would say when we started, we relied heavily on a lot of homegrown tools. So we built our own estimating model. We built our own project plans using some of the Microsoft suite of tools. as we have grown and evolved, and as technology has certainly evolved over the last few years, we partnered with a company called CoConstruct 2 years ago, and we use their platform for all of our project management. It has a fantastic portal for our clients to interact with, and they can actually dive into the details of a project schedule. They can dive into the details of any issues that are outstanding on a project. And for custom clients, it's especially useful because we can give them an entire menu of the selections and decisions they have to make and the deadlines associated with each one of those in order to keep the project on track.
Isn't that what Mike Zegg uses out on the Western Slope?
Yep.
He's had great success with that. That's another builder that we've had on the show. Zegg built homes that has used that system and seems to like it a lot.
And it's something that I kind of feel like we have to bring to the table on The Art of Construction. That is kind of it's the number one podcast for contractors and architects. And as we go to the National AIA show and see thousands of different tools out there, what's the best platform, and listen back to real world feedback? Because you said 2 years ago you signed up with CoConstruct. At that time, it's a big change, and you're all in when you choose one. So these are real world stories to say what or why, and what were some others you looked at and why you chose CoConstruct?
Sure. I'm not going to remember all the names, but we did a pretty extensive evaluation and put three or four of the major platforms through a pretty detailed evaluation. Procore was another one that we looked at, and I'm going to forget a couple of the other names, but clearly CoConstruct was a better fit for us. It was flexible. The individual who was the sort of the founder of the company was a client of a custom home builder, and really he took his experiences and a lot of his poor experiences he had with his builder and incorporated them into the initial, versions of this tool set. It's a really good fit for custom home builder, and they've since evolved it to work for other lines of business as well.
You mean the programmer actually was a customer who actually pays all of us and makes this all work, right?
That's right. That's right.
That comes in handy. What's a differentiating factor with Ascent Builders from all the other builders out there when customers are looking to build their dream home?
So I think one of the things that sets us apart, and this goes back to my background and my business partner's background, we both came from 20 years in the corporate world where we were not managing construction projects, but we were managing large internal corporate projects, and we had to manage budgets very tightly. We had to manage project schedules very tightly across multiple divisions within the company. And in that environment, if you missed on a project budget by more than 5%, or if you missed on a scheduled date, a delivery date for a project by, more than a month, you likely were out of a job or at least got your hand slapped pretty significantly. In the building industry, unfortunately, the rules are much looser than that. But we believe we can differentiate ourselves because those things come natural to us. And we take a lot of time to develop a very detailed and accurate budget for a project, a very accurate schedule, and then really take a lot of pride in keeping our clients informed throughout the project so there are no surprises.
Talk a little bit about how you handle customer relations, customer service, and that whole process from beginning to long-term ownership of a home that you've built.
Sure. I mean, I think it all starts with a very open line of communication from the very beginning. And we try to be very accommodating, probably almost to a fault with our clients and especially our custom clients with, it is often their dream home, their once in a lifetime home they're going to build. We try to be as flexible as possible with meeting their needs so that they can ultimately get what they want. That open line of communication with them from the very beginning and trying to be accommodating, and then continuing that level of communication all the way through the project while being a good advocate of theirs, but also being the voice of experience in sharing with them things that have worked well for us and maybe things that have not worked so well for us so that they end up with a product that not only they love, but also is going to be sustainable and maintainable.
We'll talk about the hard issues when it comes to expectations. And frequently you do all that and you still have a situation where somebody expects you to go at a level or go to a level that's beyond what may be reasonable. How do you kind of bridge that gap sometimes between expectation and kind of fair reality as a builder?
Yeah, I think where we stand is we try to offer our advice, but then ultimately a lot of times we'll let the client make the decision. I'll give you an example. It's fairly often that we'll have a client say, I have a brother-in-law or a cousin who does X trade. Can we use them on my home? Our answer is always, I'm willing to consider that, but you have to understand that you're taking the risk for their quality, for their ability to stand behind their warranty, because if they're not a standard subcontractor or supplier of ours, we have very little leverage with them and ability to make them perform. But ultimately, we let that be the client's decision. If they want to take that risk and they have taken our advice, like say, ultimately, it's their dream home we're building, and we'd like to be as flexible as possible.
What about after the sale when it comes to living in the home, say, for a year, and then all of a sudden their expectation is, oh, geez, you know, we need, Jason, we need you to come back and handle this. How do you respond to that kind of a situation?
Sure. So first of all, I'll say that we have a partner in ProHome that we use extensively. Because we're a small builder, we don't have a dedicated warranty department. We essentially outsource our builder warranty management to ProHome. They provide a pre-closing walkthrough with the buyer, which generates a very detailed punch list that is completed before they move in. And then they conduct a 3-month walkthrough post move in, and then they also conduct an 11-month walkthrough. And at each of those points, they document any warranty issues. They actually schedule the subcontractors to go out to the site and complete the work, essentially just like an in-house warranty department would do, but they're not employees of ours. That works really well because that's what they do all day. They're very good at it. But I think really what you're getting at is what happens after that warranty expires. Do we leave the customer hanging? And generally, you know, we ultimately, our customers become our future referral partners. So we want to keep them happy as much as possible. And as long as it's not something that's egregious, like they've broken a door because some teenager got mad, we're going to go in and we're going to take care of whatever issues they've got because we want to keep them a happy client. We want them to be a referral partner in the future.
Great. And that ProHome is a national company, are they not?
They're a national company. They have local franchises.
Right.
So, yeah.
I've heard of them, and people seem to speak very highly of them when you don't have that ability. You don't have the scale to have your own department, which is a whole challenge for most mid to smaller companies.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's a lot of us. We use the term outsourcing inside every day in Mountain View Window and Door. If you got to take care of it, but you don't have the funds, you got to get creative sometimes. And that's what's fun about turning on the microphone and listening to what different tools people use to help us come together. The next question I'd have is, tell us about the most unique construction project you've done in the past 12 months.
I would have to go with a very contemporary home, custom home that we built up in Broomfield. Mountain View Window and Door was our window partner on that project. I would say the majority of what we've built over the past few years has been more traditional architecture style, a lot of more mountain modern or mountain style homes. This was a very contemporary modern home with a flat roof, very clean lines. And although it wasn't necessarily my personal style, it was great to participate in a project like that where we created something very different than what we're used to and maybe what we're comfortable with. And ultimately, it's a great project to have in our portfolio because there are clients out there who look for a builder who has done a sort of unique projects like that that would suit their needs.
I'm glad that's a project you said, because that kind of goes full circle as far as marketing the sponsor of this show, Mountain View Window and Door. That show actually became one of the Ring of Fame projects that we do a full marketing campaign and have Jason on the show and in our showroom proudly representing a big picture of that house. And that was used with the Anderson 400 series with their new black color. And I want to peel back a few layers as far as Kevin can shed some light, as we just got back from all last week bringing 22 architects and customers back to Anderson. And the constant theme was all about, and you need to have more contemporary, more modern styles. This movement is huge, but getting a big ship to make the turn. And the big, big thing that the takeaway was is that home, we use the term mountain modern a lot with that house that you did there. And that Anderson 400 series is the original window that Anderson started with that works really well in a contemporary home done the right way with those dark colors. So that's neat that that's the project that comes to mind, and it's cool with all this collaboration and working together. But definitely the hardware and a few more details, we have a lot of special resources put together to make that whole contemporary modern feel work and come together.
There's no question. I mean, the contemporary is not a fad. It's not a flash in the pan. I mean, it's here for the long term. Even if the volumes levels shift a little bit, it's something that collectively we all have to be involved in and provide solutions for, like you described, for people out there. So,
yeah, and I think at all levels of the market. I mean, you're seeing it at the higher density condos and townhomes that are being built in that very contemporary style, all the way up through, you know, high end custom homes.
Yeah, we definitely even see it with some remodels where we're doing a few doors, and that's the contemporary component in a 60s style house that really wasn't that contemporary, but it doesn't really fit any other models, and yet they still want that style. And oddly enough, when you put it all together, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely grown on me. What you're saying as far as not my style, but it doesn't matter what you like. It's what the customer, what you're building. And what we call it, the needs analysis, is sitting down up front and working together. What kind of project are you going to build? And does the co-construct kind of help pull in like idea books and hows and all these different things that are out there? How do you on the front end understand the vision to make sure the project that you're bidding and, you know, wanting to be their trusted builder, how do you get all those information? Because sometimes it can be information overload out there today with the internet and all these tools. How do you kind of pare that down to get the critical path done?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I mean, one, you know, we have a number of architects that we work with, and architects tend to have a certain style that they prefer to work with and that they end up being very good at. So depending on the needs of the client, we try to steer them towards an architect that's going to be the best fit for the home that they want to design. Secondary to that, you mentioned Houzz. Houzz is an amazing resource with just millions of fantastic images that we encourage all of our clients to use and to start to build sort of their own playbook, images that they like. The more that we can understand things that they like, the better we're going to be equipped to fulfill that and to bid it appropriately and then eventually to deliver it appropriately.
So who was the architect on the house that we talked about, that Mountain Modern? Or what does the architect call that house? That'd be a good question.
I don't know that he has a style, but it certainly is a very contemporary home. Blue Line Architecture is who did the design for that. He's based in downtown Denver, and we've worked together on a number of homes. But this was a project that was kind of stalling because the client came to us and they said their architect was unable to really create the vision that they had in mind. They'd come up with the floor plan they liked, but they just couldn't get the exterior to look in a way, and they could not convey that to their architect in a way that he was able to draw it. And so we introduced them to an architect who was able to do that, and then ultimately that was, you know, key in us being able to win the project to build it.
Great. What's some other architects that you're currently working with?
So we work with KGA Architects. We work with Lodestone Architecture out of Longmont, are two of the major ones that we work with right now. Occasionally on the custom side, a lot of times clients will come to us with an architect already selected, and so that gives us an opportunity to make another connection and potentially work with them in the future as well.
So if I'm hearing you right, it's key when architects listening to this show, you on the builder side, is to understand the vision of that homeowner and pair them up with an architect that really does modern designs or is good at blending styles and finding the right fit, and all just listening and working together to put the right, you know, don't try to put the square peg in the round hole.
Yeah, and I think that's true all the way through the project. I mean, we try to listen to our clients and we try to pair them with partners that are going to be a good fit, whether it's the low voltage and the home automation, or whether it's the architect, or whether it's a landscaper that ultimately we think will be a good personality fit for the style that they're trying to create. So, you know, we have to have a number of folks in our network to be able to try to pair the right people with our clients so they can have the best outcome.
On the flip side, what is the most challenging project you've worked on in the past 12 months? That's what we really learn from here on the Art of Construction.
Well, I think that anytime you build a new plan for the first time, you have those challenges of it looked good on paper, but once you start getting sticks in the air, there are some things that just don't work. So we are in the process right now of building a new production townhome plan for the first time. It'll take us probably 6 to 8 weeks longer to get the first building out of the ground, just because there's learnings along the way, and whether it's the way the steel was designed or whether it's the way walls stacked that we weren't expecting them to stack, and therefore we have a hard time getting plumbing or mechanical through certain wall cavities. Those things are a challenge, and then you work them out, and then as you build that plan over and over again, you start to get some momentum and you start to work out some of those kinks.
Learn by doing, right?
Exactly.
But I think those right on paper, it really makes it go smoother, right?
Right.
I don't think people realize sometimes those types of developments are so much more time intensive up front because of getting all those details right, because it's like a huge jigsaw puzzle to get all of those, like you're talking about, all the chases to work right. It's because you got units adjacent to one another, sometimes stacked atop of one another. It's a little more involved, right?
Yes, certainly. In the commercial world, if you had that same scenario, you'd have a very detailed plan that said the mechanical is going to go at this elevation in the floor-ceiling space, but you don't have that in residential. So like you say, you'd learn by doing usually the first one, and you say, okay, next time we're going to use this space here for mechanical, and we're going to leave this space over here for plumbing. You almost have to do it once and then get your learnings and correct on the next one.
Now, are you finding, too, that getting that approved through the city is a little more complicated as well?
Certainly, I would say the bigger challenge with this, with all the cities in the area, is that they're all just probably understaffed and have more work on their plates than they can get plan reviews out in a timely manner. So I don't know that those are that much more complex to get through plan review. It's just that all those cities are just overwhelmed right now with plans to review.
So tell us about a new product that you just used on a project that you would want the world to know about in the construction arena. Something new or unique that listeners can learn from.
Sure. So we have done quite a bit with Lutron's lighting automation on some custom homes recently, and it's been an affordable way for homeowners who don't want to break the bank with a full-blown home automation system to do some lighting automation selectively in certain rooms. They can control it with an iPad or an app that'll work on an Android or an iPhone. And they can, like I said, they can sort of ease into it, and maybe they only put automation in a few rooms, and then down the road they want to add some more. It's very flexible to do that. I mean, it's been a pleasant surprise for a lot of our clients that they can sort of get into that level of home automation without having to spend thousands and thousands of dollars.
That's interesting. That's what you bring up, because I think a lot of us are on the outside looking in, or us running Mountain View Window and Door, trying to be on the inside looking out when it comes to technology or a smart home. Everybody wants it. They don't want to manage it, but they don't want to pay for it. They just want it all done. And how do you put all that together?
Right, right. Right. And I think, you know, that technology is evolving as well. And there are standards that still have to sort of coalesce and come together. And so we've got a lot of vendors working on a common standard. Unlike in the past, where you had a sort of a monolithic vendor who was going to provide, you know, the brain and the panel to operate everything from, and all the devices and all the lights and then all of the thermostats. It's starting to evolve around common standards where you can incorporate a Nest thermostat with Lutron lighting automation and then potentially a in-wall speaker system that can all be controlled by a common app and through a common interface.
Well, that's one of the things we just picked up at Anderson last week. We were there talking about some of the Verilox systems and some of the different technologies, of technology, where those can work with different systems for the very reason you're talking about, to provide greater flexibility, less stress on the ultimate client to figure things out and to ultimately just make them work properly. So
I think there's still some valid skepticism out there among clients that are they going to select and invest a bunch of money in a platform that may become obsolete, like the Betamax or the VHS debate we all remember from the 80s. I think that technology is evolving rapidly in such a way that it won't be too long, and I think we will see a common standard developed, and then that part of the industry is really going to take off.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Being as Anderson, I think they definitely took the right approach as far as we want to make our windows smart. And they work through a translator to all these different protocols. And it's getting down to, you know, Z-Wave and different things. It's kind of like how Bluetooth, when it went into cell phones, once Bluetooth was the deal, all the other tools blew up with that Bluetooth. And that's the same way I see smart home technology going, because these companies like Anderson and Lutron, like we're mentioning here, they're all coming together to take their products to speak the same language. And that's the key that I think kind of took some time to put together. But now that you can, as the builder, you know, you're the general contractor having to manage everybody, you just have to understand to have the language and the translators and everything come and speak together. And that's where, like Harrison Home Systems, to give them a plug here in our showroom in Mountain View, they came in to where we're working right now with our big Weiland door. When it's all said and done through the Savant platform, you hit one button with sequencing into where the Summit automation, the Weiland door, the Lutron lights, the Lutron shades all sequence in one button, and it can all come together. And a few years ago, that was really complicated, expensive technology. it's becoming to where it's standard offering. It's just a matter of now having a good supplier like Mountain View and a good builder like Ascent that is not scared of doing it and taking it on, and also understanding the budget. And the big thing on that is as far as the whole self-monitoring versus for the alarm system or all the cameras, do you have a company that does that for you, or you do it yourself? Like Anderson now has Nexia or Wink, or all these are all platforms that you can pay a monthly fee and do it yourself. Or they have now partnered nationally with ADT. So as a builder like Ascent Builders, both on the production and custom side, ADT will come in and do all that, and this now speaks to the windows. And those are all the things I think that are coming together that will become much more standard practices that I think where they really kick in, if we open up the production home side of things, if you can get the price down and mass produce it, that's when it really takes off. What would you say about that?
I agree with you completely. And I think that's where, if we just let this technology evolve a little bit more, we're going to see standards develop. We're going to see more mass production of some of the devices, and that's going to help bring the price points down, and it's going to make them more available to as you move down market into the production world.
Well, and the great thing there, too, is your customers get engaged with something that's new and exciting. Yet they don't have to break the bank to do it. And, you know, they can start, they can get interested and add things later. So
that's right. I mean, if you look at what Belkin has done with Wemo platform, you can literally go to Home Depot and you can buy a plug, or you can buy a switch that you can swap out with a switch. And all of a sudden it's a smart switch that you can control from your phone. So we're starting to see that evolve. And you're right. It will eventually permeate the production home industry as well.
Are you seeing it on your production homes where it's something as the builder, it's something you're talking about in the budget at this point?
We're starting to add some of those things into our upgrade options, where a homeowner can select to add smart switches to the home as part of their upgrade selection process, just like they would upgrade their flooring or their cabinets or their countertops.
Gotcha. So like your model home would be tricked out as a smart home, and it's a matter of what layers. It would be a way to do that.
Exactly.
Do you have a model home on your production homes?
You know, with the current Denver market, we have not had the need for a custom home. We're using some virtual tours through the web, and we're also using some of the existing in-construction homes to be able to walk homeowners through, but we really have not had a need or the ability really to build them, to build gotcha. Models and hold them without needing to sell them.
Let's pause there for a second, because that's one of the things that we were amazed at the AIA show recently in Philadelphia, is that next to all the other software programs, the next biggest thing was all the 3D virtual reality types of things. So how did you settle on one that you're using, and describe kind of what the offerings look like for the customer?
Yeah, there is some definitely fantastic technology in that area, where I think you would have a really hard time justifying the cost of a brick and mortar model home unless you literally had thousands of that model to build and Right. really thought you needed something for potential customers to be able to walk through. The quality of the graphics are so amazing that you can literally do that virtual walk through a home, not like the old 360 videos that maybe you've seen, you know, realtors use in the past, but a true ability to almost have like a virtual reality walk through a home, even look at the detail of the finishes of a kitchen or of a bathroom floor, that it's really impressive and really allows the client to almost have that true real experience of walking through a physical model.
How do you get that platform to the customer? Is it online? Is it in a showroom that you bring customers to? How do they see it?
So it's available in our sales office, and it's also available through the website.
So just cloud. Anybody can just go on your website and watch the virtual tour.
Correct.
Great. Yeah. And your website is great, very interactive. And I think that's where websites back in the day were kind of just a tool to give you the who we are, the this and that. Now they're this full interactive library that is more powerful than that's crazy when you think about it. A few years ago, that you had to build a whole house for someone to see that. Then now you can do it just as well on a computer screen.
Right.
That's amazing.
It really is. It really is. And I think a lot of our buyers and potential buyers start there before they even come to visit our sales office. They're going to start at our website. So if you don't have that, it's almost like it's a negative for you as a builder.
Well, one thing I'm curious about is I can remember when we were building homes in the early 2000s, when people just by nature, I think, unless they're in the business and have that sort of background, don't really visualize things until at least the point that you have drywall up on the walls and they can kind of put the three dimensions together. So talk a little bit about what the virtual opportunity does. And do you feel it's a real good representation of ultimately what you're building?
Yeah, I think it is. Like I say, it's a true, you know, virtual reality experience where you can literally walk and decide, I want to go left here and look down this hallway, or I want to go right, or I want to look up at the ceiling and see the vaulted ceiling in this master bedroom. And I think the more our clients see that in other areas, not just in construction, they see these other virtual reality things evolving, that becomes more of a natural experience for them. But you're right. I mean, still you have clients who just can't visualize that and need to physically see a space. And there are other ways to do that. Like I said, if we have a production community, we'll have different units in various stages of construction, so we can walk clients through a home that may be in drywall stage. It's not going to be their physical home, but it's the same exact unit type, so they can start to actually see what it feels like to have a bedroom that's 11 feet by 11 feet, or have a living room that's 12 by 15, and where right. The fireplace is going to be, et cetera.
Is the architect creating this virtual home tour video, or is it a separate company?
It's a separate company. I mean, they incorporate the actual CAD files from the architectural documents, and then as well as incorporating finishes as designated by us, the builder, that we want to show through that virtual tour. So we can show things like what an upgraded cabinet might look like, or what an upgraded countertop might look like versus the standard. So it gives us the ability to sort of upsell as well and show what some of those finishes look like that maybe if they didn't see that and just went to the design center, they may not select them.
So tell us about some of the current communities here. And, you know, this show is global and timeless, so kind of paint the picture of what kind of area it is. And tell us about your communities that you're currently working on, Jason.
Sure. So first of all, we have a large townhome community that we're building in Thornton, Colorado, near Colorado Boulevard and Thornton Parkway. It's a 210 townhome community. We're in the first phase of that, which is 50 units that we'll complete the end of next year. And then we'll start on the second phase, which is another 160 townhome units. They're really attracting that entry-level buyer, which is a target market that's being sorely ignored by the builder community right now. So it's been a fantastic niche for us to be able to market for sale homes under $300,000 to buyers in that market. And then we jump from there to kind of the other end of the spectrum, where we are a few preferred builders at the Colorado Golf Club in Parker, which is a very exclusive gated community with a championship golf course and homes in the, you know, $2 to $4 million range. It's a really great opportunity for us to showcase our expertise in the custom home market to some very high-end clients in that part of town.
So how does the sales process work between Thornton and Colorado Golf Club? Are you giving the same treatment on your end, or time is money? So how do you differentiate selling a home or getting to the finish line in Colorado Golf Club versus the Thornton community?
Yeah, very different processes. The townhome market, it's very much a cookie cutter product. The buyer is not allowed to move walls. They're allowed to pick a floor plan, and they're allowed to pick finishes. But other than that, it's very much a production model. So we have a dedicated sales staff with on-site sales that can answer questions, walk them through floor plans, walk them through existing in construction homes, so that they can get comfortable with what it is they're buying. Then they go through a very rigid upgrade process where they have a limited number of selections they can pick from to customize the home within our pre-approved limits, and then we complete the home for them. Contrast that to a custom home buyer in Colorado Golf Club. It's a much longer sales cycle. It's much more personal. It requires much more personal involvement with me, with the client. As I say to custom home clients, picking your builder in that environment is very much like picking your partner in a marriage. It's going to be a long-term relationship. It's going to be at least probably a 2 to 3 year relationship where you're joined at the hip to complete this home. And it's very important that you have not only somebody who's going to be able to execute your vision and execute it within a budget, but it really somebody that you're going to mesh with personally and you have a good personality fit with. So we feel that that's very important, that not only is it a good fit for the client, but it's a good fit for us as well. So that's a very long sales cycle. And like I mentioned earlier, with custom home buyers, a lot of times the sky's the limit. We're trying to build their dream. We try to listen as much as we can, and we try to implement their vision as best we can. And some things are a little bit crazy, but we're building their dream home that they probably are never going to go through that process again. And to the best extent we can do that, that's what we try to do.
So as I know you're a fan of the Art of Construction podcast, a lot of people, I'm surprised, don't even know what a podcast is today, but I know you're going to tell everybody you know about this. So we're going to have new listeners to the Art of Construction. What are some other podcasts or activities that you listen while you're driving around other than the Art of Construction?
Well, I listen to TED Talks. I don't listen to a lot of other stuff in the construction industry because I get a lot of that through email and through the NAHB and the local HBA. I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts as well, just to kind of lighten the mood.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to turn it off.
That's right.
What's a comedy podcast you listen to?
I listen to a lot of the blue collar comedy guys. Yeah. That kind of humor is sometimes just what you need to just kind of lighten the mood a little
bit. Totally. Love it. Love it. So as a learning organization, what's one leave behind? If I ask the person listening to this microphone, contractor and architects, if there's one thing you could tell them to take to the bank as a golden nugget, what's that golden nugget?
Well, I think I'd probably go with my motto, which is I treat everyone with respect because you never know who's going to either have the chance to be a future client or the chance to refer you to a future client.
Love it. Any last words of advice or anything else to leave the listeners?
Let's just keep this train going.
All right. Well, thanks for coming into Studio MBWD.
So I think Jason hit the nail on the head when it comes to full service building for the long term. I mean, here you've got an engineer who thought through the process with his business partner, came up with a great business plan, and for the last 11, 12-ish years have developed this thing from a basement remodeling company now to that's still a component to production building and custom building. I mean, he's got a lot going on that's pretty productive and building customer relationships for the long haul. So I think he hit the nail on the head in terms of what's important in this business.
And what's really cool about this whole thing, at the end of the day, to see Jason growing his business along with Mountain View Window and Door, I'm part of Elite Industry Partners, and there's people that the name comes up and everyone's like, oh yeah, he's a good guy, hard worker, systems and structure, and all the stuff that you treat people the way you want to be treated, and Jason's definitely one of those. And everyone always asks, what's the secret to success? Is you work really hard and surround yourself around good people and take the time to do things to work on your business, not just always be in your business like you talked about, delegating and taking the time to come in and listen and grow through Studio MVWD and the Art of Construction.
Well, one of the key things he focused on at the end was I always treat people with respect because I just don't know when that relationship may come full circle. And it's so true. And yet in this business, it's highly emotional. There's a lot of unexpected things happen that aren't necessarily pleasant sometimes. So being able to always focus on that, treating people with respect, even when you have to deliver maybe not the best news, or conversely, if you're getting that in return, you don't take people's heads off necessarily. You just focus on what needs to be done to get the job done and end up with a quality result. I mean, with that focus is obviously a testament to why he's doing so well.
And we're all wired differently, and you have to be able to turn it on and turn it off. And I liked how when I asked him the question as far as, you know, what podcast do you listen to, I really take that to the bank. He's like, well, I don't listen to many contractors' podcasts other than yours, which I'm glad that's what he said. But he says comedy and other things because you have to turn it off because it's not a matter of if, it's when things happen, and it's how you take care of it and truly knowing what you do best for your company and delegate. That's where we're at Mountain View right now. We've grown so much. It's kind of what's the next step of succession and growth, and what do you take off your plate to be really good at a few things and not try to be everything to everybody? And if you were the architect that had a really good business plan and told Jason, I'm the best at blank, 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 he's going to remember that when that blank, blank, blank comes back with a customer that needs you, architect, to design that right building. So I really think it's key. We talked about off air about how psychology tests and different things, all that stuff is really important, is to get into the other person's head and understand what they want.
Well, and that's why I think when you talk about how is why that is so impactful, because, you know, the old adage of a picture being worth a thousand words is true, because, you know, you can convey the description of modern 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. And so which modern are we talking about? If you look at a picture, we all understand what you're talking about, or at least we have a better understanding of what you're talking about.
And we'll put a lot of pictures on the show notes. A lot of times I think we're kind of maybe point out the obvious, but hearing it and doing it again and be really good at a few things, that's what it's all about here on the Art of Construction. So thanks for tuning in to another great show, and Jason, thanks for your business at Mountain View Window and Door, and thanks for taking the time. And it's really been great to see you grow your business, and I know you're just at the start of that.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.